He fell into the open door and slid down, arms and legs splayed open, as if he were making snow angels. After no further activity on Vehicle 3, 01 scanned up to the lead vehicles. Two men from the lead chase car were aiming rifles, scanning for the threat. For them. 01 fired once, killing the man who was using the open Dodge Charger door as cover. Another team member killed the other man, eliminating the threat. Police sirens screamed in the distance. Time to pack up and move. "Rally," he said into his microphone. The team executed their well-rehearsed clean and collect plan. They then collapsed to an apartment where they had one final task before they would escape and evade in much the same manner that they had entered the ambush location. The entire attack had taken 3 minutes. Chapter 2. The charcoal barrel of an SR-25 sniper rifle pressed into the flesh beneath Sammy Samuelson's chin, aiming upward into his skull. Vic Harwood had been watching one of the cable news shows on his smartphone. Some former senator from Virginia named Sloan Brooks was discussing her presidential aspirations when he got the Facebook Live notice. Brooks had been commenting on the president's latest tweet that referred to her as Slippery Sloan and alleged she was conducting shadow diplomacy with Iran in the wake of the cancellation of the nuclear deal. Brooks had quickly pivoted away and reminded the host of her support for free tuition for all college students, paid for by trimming the defense budget. All that melted away, though, as he stared at his smartphone, watching the Facebook Live feed from Samuelson's Facebook account. He recognized Samuelson's slightly deformed skull. The unmistakable scar from a mortar attack was a bright red 4-inch hash mark just below a tuft of hair not much larger than a mohawk. Samuelson's face was pocked with wounds from rock and shrapnel sustained during the attack in Helmand Province, Afghanistan. His eyes were in their signature half-lidded stare, nearly catatonic. Eyebrows pinched together, making his normal unibrow look even more authentic. This was a pose that Samuelson could conjure, whether he was joking or dead serious. Harwood hoped this was some kind of sick joke. Thumbs up, crying face, open-mouthed shock, angry face, and heart emoticons floated across the screen in a steady stream.
"Don't do it, man,"
Harwood muttered. He quickly fired up his MacBook, clicked onto Samuelson's page, and enlarged the feed to full screen. He pressed off the feed on his smartphone and dialed Samuelson's number. A few seconds later, a phone began playing George Thorogood's Bad to the Bone, a specialized ringtone that Samuelson had marked just for the Reaper's phone calls. There was no doubt this was Samuelson with the barrel under his chin. His eyes narrowed slightly at the sound of the phone, but he didn't move. His pupils unflinchingly stared into the Facebook Live feed, presumably done so from a smartphone.
"Pick up, Sammy. Been through too much, man,"
Harwood muttered. The phone clicked through to voicemail, with Samuelson's deep voice saying,
"Sand it,"
in true spotter parlance.
"Sammy, come on, man, talk to me,"
Harwood said. The voicemail did not play through Samuelson's smartphone speakers. The computer screen showed Samuelson's apartment in the background. It was an untidy studio overlooking a windswept valley of green grass and rising forested hills. A breeze carried debris and traces of smoke. Over Samuelson's right shoulder was a desk with an assortment of newspapers, magazines, and loose-leaf papers. Beneath them, there appeared to be a MacBook of some variety, a silver monochrome edge peeking out from beneath the mess.
"I'm sorry, Vic,"
Samuelson said.
"What are you sorry about?"
Harwood practically shouted at the computer screen. He studied Samuelson's face, the lips moving in slow motion. The high-definition display on the monitor highlighted every scar, every imperfect line, a cut on the lip, the bristles from missing last week's